fighting for is here.
Previously on the Woody and Wilcox Show.
I thought it was strange. We talked about it a little while ago. An umpire during the White Sox-Yankees game had to leave the field, and nobody could figure out why initially. And then it became clear that a moth had flown into his ear. And he left the field. He goes into the dugout. One of the trainers ends up ultimately about 2 minutes later. It took about 2 minutes for the process to play out. Pulled this thing out with a pair of tweezers. Still flapping and just flew away.
844-4WW shows the way you can get through. You want to talk to Mike next?
I don't know if I do or not, but yes.
Mike, you're on with Woody and Wilcox. What's the story, man?
Hey, a few years ago when my son was about 15, he came into our bedroom in the middle of the night and said, "Dad, I feel like I got something crawling in my ear." And I was like, "Are you sure?" You know, we didn't have a bug-infested house or anything like that. And he said, "Yeah, it really feels like there's a bug crawling in my ear or something." And I said, "All right." So I took him into the bathroom and I had him tilt his head over and poured some rubbing alcohol into his ear. I figured that would get whatever was in there out.
Mm-hmm.
And after about a minute, a cockroach came crawling out of his ear.
No!
It was disgusting.
Really?
I tried to not let him. Yeah, I didn't want him to see what it was, but he insisted, and so I showed him, and he was like, "Oh my god!" So that was nasty.
You're the one that asked for this. Are you
already done? Anybody else's ears hurt? Mine are ringing.
So anyway, that's the only time I've heard of something like that happening. So that's why I had to call you, because I heard that on about the moth.
And you poured rubbing alcohol in his ear.
Yeah, well, that's what my wife suggested, using that, because she figured it wouldn't hurt him, but if there was something in there, it would make it come out. And it
yeah.
did.
All right. Well, I appreciate the info. Thanks, Mike. 844-4WW-SHOW. And thanks to the 45 people all telling the same joke, I get this lame thing stuck in my ear called the Woody and Wilcox Show. We got it. It's all over Facebook, Twitter, the Fez Line.
It's trending now.
Oh, you mean this one?
Hey, guys. You were talking about things crawling in the air. Somehow every morning, the worst radio show on the radio crawls inside of my ear and irritates me every morning. Thanks. Yeah.
Thanks to Kevin on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page, has posted a picture of his daughter listening to the show with her hands over her ears.
Right.
She will not take her hands off her ears. Ha ha.
Well, I don't know how any of us are going to get through life without covering our ears based on the calls that we're getting.
Yeah. 844-4WW-SHOW. Jessica, you got something for us? What's up?
Well, my brother-in-law was out doing yard work, weed eating and stuff, and a June bug flew into his ear. And you know how big June bugs are.
Yes.
And they have spikes kind of on their legs. Oh. Well, when it flew in, it just went crazy, and it did so much damage. He had blood running out of his ears, and he had to go to the emergency room.
What?
And he temporarily lost hearing in that ear.
You mean just while it was in there, or even after they took it out, he lost hearing?
After they took it out, it took a little while for his ear to heal back up.
What?
Was this June bug carrying a knife? What? I mean, what kind of...
I mean, it just, you know, because they have such, like, hard legs with the little spikes on them, I guess it just dug down in there and just tore his ear up.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he's fine now? No long-lasting effects?
No, he's fine now, but he said it was one of the most painful things he's ever been through.
Who's buying earmuffs right now? Like, I'm on Amazon shopping for them right now.
How? Oh, yes. Why would we even go outside with our ear holes exposed?
No. Yes.
I know. It's crazy, but I love your show.
Thank you, Jessica. 844-4WW-SHOW is the way you can get through. What? John? Do you want to hear John's?
Yeah, I do.
John, you're on with Woody Wilcox. What's up, man?
Okay, so about 4 years or so ago, my family and I, along with a couple other families, were up camping. So we're out late at night, and we're having a little campfire going around, and one of the older family members is a man, and for whatever reason, older men seem to have huge ears.
That is true.
Yep.
Yeah, he's going to come over and hang out with us. Well, he's carrying his lantern because it's dark, and of course, moths are drawn to light. And sure enough, he's about 20 yards from the campsite where we're at hanging out. He grabs the side of his head and's like, ah! And so we're all looking at him like, what's going on? And he walks over. He's like, I think something's in my ear. And sure enough, he leans over, and I take his lantern. I look, and there's a moth stuck down in his ear. And it's just hilarious, and we can't hardly do anything, you know, because we're up late hanging out at the campground, and he knows what goes on at the campground.
Right. Right.
We eventually, after about 10 minutes, get this thing out in multiple pieces.
What did you use to get it out?
First, we kind of dug around with some twigs that were right there in the area, but then somebody got real smart, I think my wife, and went inside and found a pair of tweezers.
Oh. Right. Look at this twig in this old man's ear.
He wants to go camping. Yeah. We're going to put a twig in an old man's ear. It's going to be fun.
The following program is for entertainment purposes only.
Really? That's amazing.
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
They simply couldn't imagine being without each other.
With Woody.
Ah, what the hell is the matter with you?
And Wilcox.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
This is insanity!
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
This is like, you know, when you're getting your legs waxed and they whip that thing off real fast. That's what this is like.
And now, it's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
I've been through this a million times in all my years in the theater. Take a deep breath. Blow it out. Let's just do a good show, okay? Everybody do a good show.
Anybody stick a twig in an old man's ear last night?
Is that a euphemism for something?
Damn right it is.
Honey, I'm going to do the twig in the old man's ear.
No, I didn't. Chelsea, you're the only one who would have put a twig in the old man's ear last night, right?
Why
I know
is
Woody
that?
Didn't do that.
I feel like your access to old men is greater than mine.
Well, again, I think we're talking about a euphemism here.
Then yes.
Hello.
All right.
Living vicariously through Chelsea.
Why didn't we have that reaction?
Because you and I are old married dudes.
I even feel creeped out by my own response to your answer.
Well, that's what you get.
Hey, all right.
Bing.
Hey, putting the old twig in the old man's ear.
Don't go there if you can't handle it.
Brown chicken, brown cow. Yeah. Who's with me?
That's a cooch.
I don't know if it, I guess, yes.
Yes, cooch.
All right.
Cooter.
All right, well, you know what, Chelsea, you do whatever you can.
That's true.
To try and make the worst day of the week go by, right?
Yeah, I'm turning it around.
Today is...
Every day, I'm
today,
turning
I have
around.
It right. Today's Tuesday, right?
Yes.
Do I have the calendar correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you've been with the Woody and Wilcox Show for very long, you know that that's Chelsea's least favorite day of the week, so... We're going to push through. We're going to try and help because that's what, you know, that's what friends do. We hold hands and we try to get through Tuesday. I think I saw that on a bumper sticker somewhere.
We're friends.
Worst bumper sticker ever.
Yeah, not a great one, but somewhere somebody's holding hands and getting through Tuesday.
Thank you.
Speaking of the old what you found in your ear, the replay there. Mm. Anybody else think about that when you laid your head down on the pillow last night?
I tried not to.
Really?
Yeah.
I truly did, like, for a while. I mean, I don't think it stopped me from getting sleep, but that's one of the rare times that I've actually been really disturbed by our own show.
What are you going to do about it, though? That's, you know, I sort of consoled myself with the fact that if it's going to happen, there's not a lot I can do. Outside of the stuff that, you know, we all do, hopefully, keep your house clean. You know, I'm not putting any roach traps next to my pillow.
Yeah, well, so I did think about that. So maybe, you know, is your bed pushed against the wall? I feel like if you're touching a wall, you're more likely because, you know, a roach may crawl on the wall somehow. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but that's in my head. I want my bed to be sort of an island. You know, not touching other items that a roach could crawl onto and then hit my head. That's probably a fallacy. I'm sure he could just crawl up from the legs of the bed.
And some of them fly.
You're going to have to go earplugs, which I probably wear 50% of the time. Earplugs, hair, or earmuffs.
Well, or the other thing is be a distraction, you know, as opposed to thinking about it like, how am I going to physically protect my ear, like with a goalkeeper of some sort? Maybe, you know, it's like if you're out in the wild and you know that there could be snakes around, one of the things that snakes attack is just when they feel startled. So you try to let them know you're coming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Send them a note.
Well, you shuffle your feet or you kick rocks ahead of you so that they, if something is down the line, they're like, okay, I'm going to get out of the way and let them pass. So I think, should I be louder somehow in my sleep? Should I somehow do things that make me less attractive? My ear doesn't seem like such a safe haven for a critter.
You know, you're dealing with cockroaches and not bears and snakes, right?
Yeah, but if you're pounding around, so to speak, I don't know why I use that expression, they don't want any part of that.
But again, you're sleeping. Like, do we need a to-do list for our sleep?
I'm saying that's what went through my head last night. Should I be louder somehow? Should I breathe heavier? Should I stutter?
From my perspective, I also thought that they always seem to be scared when you turn on the kitchen light and you see one, they're like, oh crap!
They freeze.
And they run away. So I'm having motion lights installed on my ears. That way if a cockroach comes by, boom, light comes on.
I like that. The only problem is if he's already in the canal, he may run the wrong way because they are not necessarily, because there's the dark part.
Yeah.
Unless the light is literally like next to your eardrum. And then it's pushing them back out.
I got to talk to my doctor.
Why aren't you guys just covering it up? Why are we having this in-depth conversation about ear lights?
They were a big band in the 60s, remember? The ear lights?
Yes.
And you pronounced it wrong when you were on that old show?
Yes, that's a fact.
That's a reference, by the way. I got to go back to Woody's first, I think, technically.
First gig,
first paying job in radio. He worked at an oldies station, like in the middle of the night.
Good times and great oldies in the middle of the night.
And there's a band called the Shy Lights. Not to be confused with the Ear Lights,
right.
Chelsea.
Right.
And Woody was calling them...
Chi Lights.
The Chi Lights.
Well, because... have you ever seen... I never saw it spelled out.
Right.
And they
never saw it spelled out. Was
your answer. Chi-Lites is what it said on the paper log that I was reading from.
No, I think that's right. Yeah.
And so I was like, Chi Lites. And the dude at like Circle K or 7-Eleven was like, it's Shy Lights, you idiot. He was the only one listening.
Oh, you learned something there.
Absolutely.
That's a good walk down memory lane. Mm-hmm. Ear lights, kick that off. Thank you, Chelsea.
K-Dells, 104.7. I need you to put a smile in your voice, Woody. I'm not hearing it while you're on the air.
That's because I'm saying Chi Lights.
That's
I don't
right.
have time to smile in my voice. Well, a few things. We're going to find out what's weird out there on Craigslist today. We do have a round of Craigslist Prices Right. And with Labor Day, you believe that? Labor Day, right around the corner. I'm sure you've planned out some sort of gift for the loved one in your life, right? Labor Day is a gift-giving holiday, so you got to get something from Craigslist. I think that's the tradition. So we'll do that. We've also got a round of It Happened in Florida, going to make us feel better about our own lives. Plus, I got this on the Fez line, our voicemail at 704-FEZ-3200. We always like to field your questions or your comments, and I don't know that we need to spend any time on this here. But cool beans, pay attention. Somebody has spotted something having to do with you and has left it on our voicemail.
Hey, guys. I just realized that Cool Beans follows the United States Postal Service on Twitter. You might want to have her explain that.
There's a man who really, thank you, who really
tickled,
loved the fact that Cool Beans is following the Postal Service on Twitter. People are really digging in depth, Cool Beans. So, yeah, I don't know if that freaks you out a little bit or not. That came in, by the way, at 12:30 last night. So that was obviously important enough in his life to leave a message there on the Fez. So maybe in a bit, Cool Beans, we can dig into that, too. But what else is happening? A chat will answer all those questions for us next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show. And now, it's time for The Chat Report. Stuff happening around the globe.
The G is silent. Beep, 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 beep. On the Woody and Wilcox Show.
I'm only starting with this because I wanted to praise Patrick, who sent us a nice tweet on this topic last night. I wasn't a big WWE guy. We know that if you've listened to the show for a while. Jim the Anvil.
Neidhart. Mm-hmm.
Passed away yesterday.
Yeah, I saw
apparently
that.
Big in the wrestling world at one point in the 80s, maybe late 80s, early 90s.
Yes.
63 years young. Odd says he fell and hit his head at home. No foul play expected. He was half of the tag team, the Hart Foundation.
Right. Bret Hart.
His real brother, apparently. I or brother-in-law, I guess. But it was Patrick who tweeted in and alerted me to this because he put up a side-by-side photo of Jim the Anvil and Woody wearing oddly similar outfits.
They look alike?
And it was a who wore it better.
Okay. Well,
have yourself a little look at that, Chelsea. Woody didn't realize that months ago when he decided to look like that, that he was unwittingly doing a tribute to Jim the Anvil.
Maybe it killed him.
That's the nicest picture anybody has ever put me next to, I gotta say.
You think?
Yeah.
There is a similarity between the two of you.
I guess so.
Not only in what you're wearing, but sort of in the appearance.
The body shape.
Chelsea, your thoughts.
And just, where am I looking for
we
this?
We just retweeted it at Woody and Wilcox.
I'm on the wrong platform. Stand by. Okay.
First tweet that we've just tweeted here this morning as a tribute to Jim the Anvil.
That's giving Woody a lot of credit.
Thank you.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Yeah,
I agree.
So you would see that as a positive for it to actually be true.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Really? Okay.
Well, I take that as a compliment.
I wouldn't have thought it that way.
No twig in the old man's ear for me here, but you know.
Okay.
I mean, is death an option? Do I have to choose? What's going on?
All right. Well, may he rest in peace. Woody's still with us, apparently, but Jim the Anvil no longer. Speaking of you and your physique, Woody, I don't know if you saw this. We might as well continue on with the same thread. Did you see that McDonald's is testing a new item? I know you're always interested in food news.
I did see this one, so I'm not going to do a Chelsea and pretend like I don't know.
I don't even really feel like this is a not really straying from anything that they already do, right?
No.
What is it? I don't know what you're talking about.
They're taking it's the breakfast McGriddle or something like that and making it with French toast as opposed to a pancake. And people like online are like, oh, it's a revolution. I was like,
you
really?
Know, the McGriddle has like a pancake bun, one on each side.
Yes.
And instead of that, they're testing French toast instead.
What?
And I'm with Woody on this. I mean, how different can it be?
Right.
Right. Test marketing it 200 different locations. So it's not everywhere, apparently. So don't go too crazy.
Right.
But just be aware that it is a thing. Speaking of eating, and I don't know that we have time to get into this here. Did anybody see the story that unfolded about the woman who was shopping at a Staples store and was approached by a security guard who asked what was under her shirt?
Mm-hmm.
And she revealed that she was pregnant with twins.
Yes.
Did you see the follow-up to that?
No.
That the manager of the store has been fired? And somehow in my head, I saw this as you approach somebody and ask them if they were pregnant when they weren't. But this is a reverse of that. I guess they thought she was shoplifting, but in reality, she was just pregnant and was shopping in the store. And now, A, the manager has been fired, and B, she's threatening a lawsuit. Called it a living hell.
It's a little dramatic.
Does that seem like a lot? Maybe I'm missing something.
I mean,
nobody wants to be wrongly accused of doing a crime, but she was approached by a security officer in the store who asked what was under her shirt. She said, ha-ha, twins. She thought he was joking. And then he was like, no, what's under there? And then she was like, just me and pregnant. And then he walked away and that was it.
So she wasn't forced to disrobe there in the
no,
scan?
No, ma'am. No.
And that's the living hell part?
That's, yes. Well, I don't know. And Staples has made the announcement this morning. The manager, who I guess made the security officer go check it out, has been canned. And she's threatening legal action.
Stand the manager?
By. No, not the manager. The woman. Please.
I was at Staples, and I was purchasing school supplies for my two kids. And when I get to the register, mid-transaction, a police officer approached me, and he asked what was under my shirt. Initially, thought he was joking. So my response first was, twins. I'm pregnant 34 weeks with twins. He asked me again, am I sure that's all that's underneath my shirt? So in that case, I was like, okay, so I guess you don't believe that I just have two babies growing in there. You're implying something beyond that. To avoid him asking me again, I actually lifted my shirt just a little bit, just exposed my belly, just so you can see that, no, it's just, I'm just a regular pregnant person buying school supplies. At that point, he walked away, didn't offer an apology. I felt even more embarrassed, more humiliated. Initially, just a regular store that I thought, yeah, I could just get a great deal on some supplies, turned out to be a nightmare.
By the way, I don't know if I'm saying this right. Pineville, North Carolina?
I know where that is.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just thought that was interesting. I was somewhat confused by it, I felt like.
Maybe we're missing details or she's being a little dramatic. And I don't feel like it's that out of the realm of possibility to suggest that the manager may be also have some kind of lawsuit for wrongful termination or something. We've heard those stories, too.
Oh, and nobody's even suggesting that. But I was confused why this became national news. I mean, it's all over the news. It's slow news day, or I just don't understand what I'm missing.
She must be holding something back.
She started picking up traction in her world, or Staples found out about it. Now they're trying to get ahead of it, some kind of PR thing.
She mentioned lawsuit, and she mentioned that she's going to do this.
We'll probably sit around and cook some soups and eat bread and desserts and just get all fat and sassy.
So we'll obviously keep you abreast of that situation as each passing moment goes by.
Thank you.
We do have a round of It Happened in Florida. Strange stories? Yeah, we got those. Maybe we'll all learn a little something, and you may walk away as a huge, massive winner. Next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
So we've got three stories here that we're going to share real quick. Woody and I will share these stories, and you just let us know which one of them you think actually happened in the troubled state of Florida. That's it in a nutshell. All of them are true. You just have to spot the Florida story and win. Woody will kick us off with story number one.
Story number one, I think the headline says it all. The headline reads, criminals use Mr. Bang Bang to steal gold teeth. Right? We've all been there, Mr. Bang Bang.
I'm not sure what you're saying, actually.
Let me set the scene for you. It's 3 o'clock in the morning on Monday. Four guys were playing cards on a trash can. Because who doesn't play cards on a trash can at 3 o'clock in the morning on Monday? Now, these four guys are playing cards, and they see two men walk up. Two of the guys playing cards run away. The other two stay. Well, the guys who walked up, they're the criminals. One of them pulled out a handgun and said, gentlemen, this is Mr. Bang Bang, and he can hurt you. We're going to need your cell phones, your wallets, and anything else valuable that you have. Well, one dude popped out his gold teeth and handed it over. He has no idea who the assailants were. They were described as being between the ages of 16 and 18 and approximately 6 feet tall. So that's really narrowing it down. Is it in Florida where the criminals described Mr. Bang Bang and got away with gold teeth?
Story number two has to do with something that probably nobody has experienced, but I'm going to throw it out there for you anyway. Neighbors getting into a dispute with one another. You ever been in that situation? Yeah, where maybe you and your neighbor don't agree on something that's going on around in the neighborhood. Maybe it's something you're doing. Maybe it's something he's doing. What do you do in that case when you have a dispute with a neighbor? Chelsea?
Wildly passive-aggressive behavior.
Wildly passive-aggressive. Okay, in this case, it was for playing music too loudly. I don't know if that changes your answer.
You're going to retaliate by playing something annoying on repeat and also loud.
Okay. I feel like we have heard those stories before, and it's usually something that nobody wants to hear, i.e., you know, the Woody and Wilcox Show or whatever.
Podcast.
Do you have a guess, Woody, on what you do in that situation?
What? Who am I? What am I doing?
You're upset that your neighbor is playing music too loud.
Call the cops.
Call the cops. Well,
steal lawn ornaments.
That's for losers.
Steal lawn ornaments. Leave passive aggressive notes.
Chelsea's getting closer. The confrontation led to one man urinating in the other man's mailbox. not a euphemism for something, although maybe. I don't know.
Wee-wee area.
Right. It depends on what you're...
Wang.
Right. It depends on what you're...
Wang.
It depends on what you're into. My first thought was good height. But I don't know. I haven't seen, you know, the mailbox in question. But in my mind, that's a good height above... Maybe I'm misunderstanding, but I feel like that's either A, good aim at least, or B, a pretty solid stream that you've got running there. You're a
tall man.
Is there some sort of step stool involved?
Maybe. There doesn't appear to be any mention of him using some sort of tools or any sort of anything to help him get it higher, if I may use that expression.
A step stool.
Well, you know, a bucket.
Wouldn't it be
a 5-gallon bucket that you're standing on?
You march into your garage, come out with a step stool, stand in front of the man's mailbox, and let it fly.
Right.
No mention of that. So I'm going to assume he was going out au natural. Why do I want to say au natural? That doesn't sound right. How does that phrase go? If you're going to say that,
au natural.
Aw. That just feels weird, though. I don't like the way my mouth feels when I say that. Aw.
Gomez, we're going to need that.
I don't think I'm saying that right. I'm not sure you're saying that right.
And now, a moment with Wilcox.
No, they don't. It's not weed.
Are you sure?
Yes. And they are not trying to give them editables. Yeah, why?
Have you had an edible?
Can't give a bee a lollipop because they don't have a tongue. So that's why they don't try to get them edibles.
I know.
Edibles, right?
This has been A Moment with Wilcox.
Did it happen in Florida is my question. Woody's got their third and final.
Third and final story has to do with, sadly, another thing women need to deal with in today's day and age. Chelsea, cops in this particular area are warning people to inspect underneath their cars as a man has been accused of hiding cherry pies under their car tires for sexual gratification.
What?
Now, I want you to figure out how he gets sexual gratification as the 43-year-old man has placed desserts and other items, including VHS tapes and laptops, underneath women's cars.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
What do you mean?
So what happens is he sees a woman drive up and park and do some shopping. They park on the street and they're going to have to back out. He sneaks up to their cars and takes some cherry pies and puts them right underneath the back tires, or perhaps some VHS tapes. Then he goes back to his car and gets some binoculars.
So he likes to see them run over?
Kind of. When the women run over the objects, they go, oh my God, what was that? And then they get out and bend over to look at what they ran over, and he's over there with the binoculars.
I feel like that's a waste of a pie.
Go beads.
I mean, they're not.
Cooter.
The VHS, yeah. Run that thing over.
It's disturbing, said the sheriff. It's very creepy, unacceptable behavior. That's the best way to describe it.
There's worse.
Why would they list cherry pies and VHS tapes?
That's what he's using.
Which used to be the name of our show, by the way.
McDonald's cherry pies, by the way. Small. So not the full, you know.
Yeah, and you got to go Apple on that.
I don't think I realized McDonald's did cherry pies. Is that right? I thought it was just Apple.
Get back to Canada.
Sorry.
Cool Beans is not happy with you.
I'm sorry, Cool Beans. I apologize. Don't urinate in my mailbox.
Was it in Florida where he's hiding cherry pies under people's cars? 844-4WW-SHOW. Kent is up first to try and solve our quiz. Kent, what do you think? All three stories actually happened. Which one went down in Florida?
Story number three.
No, sorry. Michigan is where the dude was busted hiding things beneath women's cars. And they are asking people who may have been affected by this guy. He's already been arrested to come forward so they can get more charges. Michigan, Cool Beans, Michigan. Shane is up for or second with a 50-50 shot. Shane, what do you think?
I'm going to say story number two.
Story number two. Yeah. That's the one.
Yep. Florida is where it went down. A neighbor told police that he witnessed the man, quote, walk into the street, pull his pants down, point his middle finger at the neighbor, and then urinate in his mailbox. So no mention of a step stool. Seemingly did it all by himself. As I like to say, au naturel.
That's the correct way to say
it. Right.
Yeah. Nice job. In your face.
Also in Florida, story number one, where Mr. Bang Bang in Winter Haven, Florida, Mr. Bang Bang got away with the gold teeth as four guys were playing cards on top of a trash can.
Words.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
I got to tell you, I'm excited about Craigslist Prices Right. If you've got money burning a hole in your pocket, this is the day.
And who doesn't, by the way, have money burning a hole in their pocket?
Look at the economy. Everybody's got money to spend.
Right?
Come on, we're all rich. What are you going to do? Spend it on something new? No. Spend it on something that should have been either placed in the trash or perhaps put in a junkyard years ago, because there's an opportunity if you would like to lose your virginity.
I'm sorry?
Craigslist has the vehicle that will cause you to lose your virginity. It's a vehicle, Chelsea. It's not actually somebody offering their services.
A vehicle?
Yeah.
Are you saying vehicle as in like automobile, or vehicle as in like the way in which you will lose it?
Automobile? Yes, automobile, Chelsea, is what we're talking about.
And don't say it like that's a given, right? Because that's an odd statement. You realize that.
Right. I agree.
Okay.
If you're one of those people who perhaps doesn't have any money, there's a good opportunity if you're great at relationships. A man needs help with his relationship, and you may be able to earn some serious cash. How much cash are we talking? Well, we're going to find out when we play a round of Craigslist Prices Right.
Speaking of playing around and playing games, did you see the ratings are in for the PGA Championship over the weekend? Those of you that don't follow golf, it was one of the majors over the weekend, and a guy by the name of Brooks Koepka was the winner, but Tiger Woods finished second. And hadn't done that in a long time. Actually had his best Sunday
ever
in the history of playing golf. That's pretty amazing. And the ratings reflected that. I don't know if you know, they call it the Tiger effect. Whenever Tiger is doing well and plays deep into the weekend, the TV ratings go through the roof. Almost 70% more people watched Sunday's finale then watched the finale of the same tournament last year. 70% more people.
Really?
Watched the final. Yes.
Really?
Was there something else going on last year that we're not taking into consideration?
People love Tiger. Even with everything that went on, whatever the downsides and all that, and hasn't been a champion in a while, people love it when Tiger Woods is playing golf well, and they watch when they normally wouldn't watch. It was the highest rated final round of a PGA championship since 2009. So you do the math. What is that? 7 years? Is that 8 years?
9.
Is it 9 years?
Yes.
Okay, like I said, wow, when Woody's doing the math, what's happening?
I know,
I'm good with that.
So, no Tiger on a round of Craigslist Prices Right coming up.
But nope.
We'll do what we can, and we'll do that next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
So the hokey Price is Right music means it's time for Craigslist Prices Right, where Woody has gathered some strange goods and services that are out there currently on Craigslist, and then Chelsea and I, along with a couple of you on the phone, will try to figure out how much money, theoretically, is going to exchange hands on this stuff. Just like regular prices, right? Got to get closest to the actual price or the amount without going over. And then that gets you a point. Most points wins. Looks like up first to play is Derek. Hey, what's going on, Derek?
Hey, good morning, guys. Welcome. Hey, ladies.
Hello.
Welcome in. Taking you on is going to be Nicole. What's up, Nicole?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. All right, so you guys know how this works. So what we'll do is we'll start by having Woody describe item number one. Woody?
Thanks to Brian, who found this on Craigslist and immediately thought, gee, that's weird. I bet Woody could use it for Craigslist Prices Right. Woody at iHeartMedia is the email address you want to use when you find something weird. It's a virginity-taking 1993 Geo Tracker. I'm selling my 93 Geo Tracker. I bought this bitchin' ride last summer and got so much, now that I have a kid, I have to get rid of it. You put the 90s into a blender and this pink pistol will come out in all its rusty glory. You roll up to any party in this rig and you can kiss your virginity goodbye. Yes, it's got a 5-speed manual, so when you're cranking up your favorite Travis Tritt song, you'll have no problems dropping the hammer from 4th to 5th and letting your mullet fly. It's got 97,000 miles on this. Chick Magnet is probably going to outlive you. The muffler's about to fall off, but who cares if you wake up your neighbors? They're going to love seeing this in the driveway. No power steering, so you'll definitely have an arm pump 24/7. Count on your biceps growing at least 2 inches when you drive this bad boy. It's got 4x4, but I'm not sure if it works because that doesn't matter. All the honeys are on paved roads, so you shouldn't need it. Along with this priceless beauty, I'll throw in the feathers that are hanging from the rearview mirror. Pop the top off this bad boy and you'll be ripping like a razor blade in the wind, attracting the attention of any man, woman, or child within 400 feet. Price is blank, but can you really put a price on feeling like Dale Earnhardt Jr. at Daytona in a 93 Geo Tracker? If you're an average-looking dude with a horrible personality, this is a car that will put you over the top.
A Geo Tracker? Did you say pink pistol?
Yes, it is pink in color. And it has some sort of zebra stripes across 3/4 of the car.
You have to be an average-looking dude with a poor personality.
This will put you over the top, Chelsea.
Okay.
It's a 93.
Correct.
Only 97,000 miles on it, though.
That is actually low mileage for the age.
That means it's been sitting in a field somewhere, I think.
The body in it.
Wants $1,000 for that.
$1,000 is the bid from Wilcox. Chelsea?
$1,500.
Gotcha. Derek, what do you think?
$650.
Gotcha. Nicole?
$750.
Actual Craigslist price. You really know your virginity taking machines, Wilcox. $1,000.
Boom! Boom!
Can you really put a price on feeling like Dale Earnhardt Jr.?
All right, one for me, nothing for the rest of you. What do we have for item number 2 on Craigslist prices, right, Woody?
Anthony found this and sent it to me, Woody at iHeartMedia. This is somebody who's looking to hire. So somebody, we're going to be bidding on what they're going to be paying for a relationship expert. The listing goes like this. I'm not sure if I put this in the right category, but I'm posting it here anyway. I have an issue. I need help. I'm trying to rekindle a relationship with somebody that hurt me. I am going to hire you and have you go through everything that has happened in our past relationship. I'm going to need you to read through close to 70 emails and over 5,000 texts, which I have printed out, and all other written related materials to our relationship to figure her out. Then you're going to talk with me to figure me out, and then you and I will devise a strategy to win her back. Then you'll get involved and approach her as a third party. Have you ever seen that Will Smith movie called Hatch or Hitch or something like that? It's something similar to that. It's not matchmaking, but it kind of is. I want you to be my life coach and read about this relationship and help me solve it. If you've never done something like this, don't think you're out of the running. This could be months worth of work, but I'm patient and I really want to get her back.
It does seem like a good idea to hire somebody you've never met on Craigslist to help you win back your ex-girlfriend.
Right, who doesn't want to be with you for some reason.
Why wouldn't she want to be with somebody like that?
And why take the time to figure out even if the Will Smith movie is Hatch or Hitch?
He's busy.
That's just taking up too much of your time.
Trying to get his girl back. All right, so this could take months. How am I being paid for this?
This is a monthly fee.
To be a life coach / stalker /...
And to read 5,000 texts and 70 emails.
That shouldn't take you months. That is going to be $250 a month.
$250 per month. Gotcha. Derek, what do you think?
A steal at $125 a month.
Okay. Nicole, would you ever date somebody who did something like this?
Absolutely not.
Okay, so you're smart. What do you think?
$300
per month. Gotcha. Wilcox?
I'm going to go $301.
$301. Actual Craigslist price, $500 per month is what I'm willing to pay.
Seems like a huge investment.
That's how much value I place on this relationship.
Girl, run. Right. Wherever you are.
Got his priorities straight, I feel like. Well, that's two for me and nothing for anybody else. So what that means is Derek and Nicole, whoever gets item number three between the two of you is going to walk away with this thing. So it's important. Woody, what do we have?
Jennifer sent this to me, so thank you, Jennifer. Woody at iHeartMedia, when you find something, somebody who's offering their services to be a pretend boyfriend. The listing goes like this. Are you tired of being judged at family gatherings? Did your overbearing aunt set you up on a blind date because you're single? You want to make your ex jealous? Need a date for a formal event? Got caught in the old I have a boyfriend lie and got invited on a double date? I have good news for you. I am a totally real guy that's gayer than a jailbird, and I'll do those things for a price with you. Let me know your event and I can make it happen. You deserve to be happy and single and love yourself as a strong, independent woman. Contact me and we can get this done. I've done it for friends in the past. I've always had a blast, and I've figured nothing ventured, nothing gained. I should offer my services on Craigslist. Blank per hour is all I ask. If there's an open bar event, I will heavily discount my fee.
By the way, how great is it that that's the most normal of the three posts?
I know.
So it's a guy who just wants to be your fake boyfriend. He's gay and likes to drink.
Correct.
And he is looking for a per hour fee.
Yep.
Derek, for the game, what are you paying the gay guy to be your boyfriend?
$30 an hour.
$30 an hour. Gotcha. Nicole?
$25.
You guys have both overbid.
Wow. It is a bargain.
Yeah.
$25 was the low bid, Derek. What do you want to do?
God. $10.
$10. Gotcha, Nicole.
$15.
Actual Craigslist price is $10 an hour.
Wow.
I cut my price in half if there's an open bar to $5 an hour.
What? He is cheap. $10 an hour.
$10 an hour.
Good for my gas.
I might want to hire him for something else. Does he do lawns? Derek, congratulations on your victory. Nicole, tough break. You played that thing right. Just didn't work your way. Great day to get on the Craigslist, too. Are you kidding me? Where else are you going to find a 93 Geo Tracker known as the Pink Pistol and have the opportunity to be some loser's life coach and hire a dude to be your boyfriend? Only in one place. Well, maybe two. Probably at Walmart, but also at Craigslist. If you find something odd when you're out there on Craigslist, send it in. Send it to Woody. Maybe we'll use it next time when we play a round of Craigslist Price is Right.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Well, we just wrapped up a round of Craigslist Price is Right and some interesting items actually available, including a 93 Geo Tracker that had a great description to it, but I'm not going to spoil that. You can check out the podcast. A couple ways to do that, by the way. Now, if you follow us on Twitter, at Woody and Wilcox, we tweet out segments during the show. So that may, I haven't checked, that may even be out there. Cool Beans working frantically behind the scenes to make that happen. But you can always go to the Woody and Wilcox channel of iHeartRadio as well. So those are a couple of different options for you. I want to get into something. We don't have time to do it here, but I'm always fascinated by the lengths that people will go to make their wedding day just right. Now, not everybody, but we've certainly all heard stories about money spent in interesting ways sometimes, things that you might not expect to make things perfect for a wedding. And not, I mean, could be the groom, could be the bride. It's not always the same. I'm going to need help with one particular one, and maybe you've seen this because it's sort of gone viral and is floating around the inner tubes. I'm going to need some help on this particular scenario. I've never heard of it. Let's put it that way. And I'll explain it to you and maybe get your input coming up next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
I guess I didn't know this was a thing, and I'll explain what this is in a second. But we may either need you to ring in on it or on other things that people spent what I think of as a crazy amount of money on something that seems unnecessary. This is a story that hit, and maybe you've seen it now. It's been floating around the internet about a woman who had recently gotten married and was, as she puts it, embarrassed once she saw her wedding photos. So this is actually something that she had done post-wedding. Now, a lot of people, I guess men and women, I bet, you know, really do a lot of stuff leading up to their wedding because what? They want to look good in front of the people that are at their wedding. Right. They want to look good in their photos because they know these are pictures that are going to follow them their whole life, or at least until you get divorced.
Honeymoon, maybe?
And in this case, she noticed something physically about herself after her wedding when she was looking through the photos. I suppose there are some typical things that people notice about themselves when they look at photos. What would you imagine typically people are thinking about when they go, oh, look at that. I didn't realize that's how that looked.
I've gained some weight. I look tired. My hair's falling out.
Spray tan.
So short.
Spray tan didn't look as good as you thought it did. Chelsea's on a better track. No, but it isn't any of those things. And I'll tell you this. She ended up spending $2,000 to fix the issue that she spotted in her wedding photos. Does that help or does that not make it any more clear what she had done?
$2,000. Something with the face.
Did they go back and like Photoshop the picture?
No, it has nothing to do with the picture. She just noticed something about herself in the picture and then physically had something done to her body.
We talked about this. What was the surgery to get rid of your knee wrinkles?
Kinkles?
Yeah, that's right. Your ninkles.
Ninkles?
Your ninkles.
Yes, that is a thing, or it was.
You're getting even closer.
Old knees.
Old knees. used to be. Yeah, give me the old knees.
Elbows,
the
then.
The old knees, look at these. Wasn't there an old rhyme or something?
Dirty knees.
Dirty knees, look at these. None of those either.
Too much elbow skin.
Elbow skin. We're getting closer.
Tricep. Yeah. The bat wings.
The tricep waddle?
Yes.
Nope, but you're again, closer and closer. I'm going to give you the answer. She was embarrassed by what she calls her masculine hands. Now, again, she noticed this in her wedding photos after the fact and looked back and said, oh, my gosh, my masculine hands. Now, remember, I said she then had a procedure that ran her $2,000.
Total hand replacement?
Not total. I think that would be pricier. And by the way, I'll tell you what it was before I tell you that. She had what are called fillers.
Okay.
To fix her masculine hands.
She's using masculine in a strange way.
She had man hands?
That's what she says. They were masculine.
But I feel like that's more about the size than just the surface
right.
of the hand.
Not the size in this case. She was upset about how her hands looked in her wedding photos. So she went to the doctor to get these things called hand fillers.
Remember we talked about people and their engagement ring photos on Instagram? I feel like they were doing something similar.
Yes, it is sort of similar to that because some of the photos were a close-up of just her left hand with the ring on it.
I mean, your hands do start to look older. That's one of those places, like your neck, you know, your neglected thin and fingery hands.
Your thin fingery hands.
How dare your hands be all fingery?
But how
I just want a stump.
So for her, it's not about the size. She says, I've always been very vascular. Vascular, having to do with veins.
Okay.
And the close-up of my hands in the wedding photos really showed how masculine my hands look, she said. Which, by the way, I don't think of veiny necessarily as being masculine.
Me either.
Personally.
I'm very vascular also. It runs in my family. Do my hands look manly aside from my giant thumbs? We've established that. I have man-sized thumbs on small hands.
We're going to need to take some pictures for the Instagram.
I do.
Yeah, we've talked about that. Yeah. But you know what? It's been a while. I'll take some pictures. She says, I've really noticed the signs of aging beginning this year. Anybody want to guess how old she is?
36.
22.
28.
Oh, punch yourself in the face, Kristen. Sorry, yeah. Her name's Kristen. My hands look more masculine than hers do, then, if it's based on this vein stuff.
So all it does is kind of, for those who aren't as savvy as Chelsea, it just plumps them up, sort of.
And lightens it a little bit. Looks like some of the sun damage is gone.
I'm looking at how you can see the little bones in your fingers from the top of your hand and see some veins here and there. It sort of takes all of that away and gives you like one solid slab, one slab of hand meat.
Is that really worth $2,000?
Not to me. That's what I said. Her hand looks fine. I can't imagine looking at those photos pre and going, boy, that's terrible.
She had a $2,000 hand job. Is that what you're saying?
I am saying that, although I'm not saying it that way.
You've waited the entire time to just shell that out. You're so proud of yourself.
Takes about 30 minutes and costs $2,000. And by the way, it's not a one and done.
No, it's not going to last. Fillers don't.
The doctor's saying about 6 to 12 months, you need to, come in, get put back up on the rack, rotate your tires.
So how many times do you do this before you finally just accept that those are your hands?
Never.
Never.
Apparently.
What do you mean never?
You just keep putting fillers
in
them.
You got to keep going. It's like every half to every half year to a full year, apparently, to get them redone.
That seems excessively high, though.
Do you feel like anybody's really doing this? Like, is there somebody listening now who's done it? Or is willing to admit they've done it?
I don't know to what extent, but I know there are other people like me who are conscious of their hands and either put some kind of lotion on it or some kind of anti-aging something to keep them in check, especially with all the,
But if you had to spend $2,000 on a one-time procedure, I mean, even if you had $2,000 to do it.
No, you're taking that $2,000, you're putting it on your face is what you're doing. Screw the hands.
Cobains, we're going to need that.
I mean, that's extra income if you're getting all the way down to the hands.
She say you're putting it on your face, screw the hands?
Yes.
That is what I thought she said. Yes, cool beans, mark that, please.
I'm with you, though, Chelsea. I think there's...
I mean, I realize it. Look, it's not new that people are having all sorts of physical changes made to their appearance. I get that. I'm not acting like, what? People are doing things to their body to change their appearance, but I guess I'd never seen it laid out like this.
You get a new set of cans, they last longer than 6 months, right? Granted, it's, I don't know.
Are you talking about breast implants?
Yes.
Yes, they better be lasting longer than 6 months.
But how much does that cost? $8,000?
Minimum $5,000.
Okay. So you can find it for cheaper.
But that's more of an investment. Maybe you think she didn't shop around?
Yes.
Maybe. Well, I feel like that's high.
And I think that's an investment that eventually, it lasts years. But if this is lasting 6 months or a year.
But maybe it's worth it to her. I mean, we have these things that we're insecure about. We can work on our insecurity, or we can do something that makes us feel good and then maybe just spreads over into other parts of our lives. Does it make us better neighbors and people?
That's my problem. I'm not insecure about enough things.
Agreed.
I know. Maybe if you just think about your face, the world would be better. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. How do you continue to look at photos of yourself and do nothing?
The bar is so low for yourself.
I look at pictures and I go, man, looks great. Wouldn't change a thing.
Way down here.
Who are these people who are insecure? I drive by gyms. I go, look at those people working out. I wish I was one of them.
Right. To be you.
We all wish you'd have some sort of transplant. I'll make you a list.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
So if you worked at retail, and I know you guys both did, I sort of kind of did, but not really. And there were rules and regulations that you had to follow about if you suspected someone was trying to shoplift or you knew they were. And what were the parameters? Because I get the sense that it's changed over the course of time, just like everything else. Maybe you've seen the story that it's a national news story now, and I wasn't quite sure, honestly, why, but it's the story of a woman who was at a Staples store, and they approached her, I guess a security officer did, and said, what's that you got under your shirt? As she was, by the way, at the checkout line, is the way I understand it. So she was buying something. So why? I'm not sure how that would play out, but... and she ended up being pregnant, like for real. And they somehow thought that she was stealing something, hiding it under her shirt. questioned her about it twice, and then she went on about her way. They didn't hold her down and frisk her or reach under her shirt, or it was a couple of questions. She proved, I guess, beyond a reasonable doubt that she was pregnant by just saying, "Hey, I'm pregnant, look." And that was it. But it's now become national news because the manager of the Staples store has been fired. And she is considering, she says, a lawsuit against Staples. We mentioned this a little bit earlier on the show. And several people were nice enough to ring in on sort of similar scenarios, i.e., you worked in a retail establishment. How did you handle that particular situation if you thought somebody was stealing? Because apparently now, if you falsely accuse someone, you could get fired. They can file a lawsuit. And we know that everybody now corporately is, you know, CYA. You don't want to get sued.
Mm-hmm.
Austin rang in. I was the manager at Kohl's department store. And the policy there was you could not accuse someone of stealing unless you had 100% proof. If you had suspicion, you called loss prevention and they would check the security cameras. But if you accused somebody and it turned out that that was not the case, you would get your you would lose your job. Which I don't know if that's traditional. Maybe that is the way it works most places, or is that a fairly new thing, or I don't know.
I remember when I was in just out of high school, I worked at a CD shop, you know, sold tapes and CDs and rented VHS tapes. And so we had quite a few people who would come around and steal CDs. And our manager was like, tackle them. If they make a run for the door, go after them. It's like, but if you think you're going to get shot or something, obviously you don't want that to happen. But, like, that was his personal go-to. He's like, stop them, get the merchandise back.
Was that a national chain or was that a local store?
Definitely West Coast. Warehouse records and tapes. I don't think they were on the East Coast at all.
But that was a long time ago.
Yeah. Early 90s, where it was like, go get them.
I wonder if anybody has been informed to tackle a suspected thief these days in their corporate chain.
Well, it was usually you would confront them, and if they bolted from the store, tackle them, not just go. Your not first thing store. Was not to tackle
because,
them.
Because, yeah.
3-point stance. Head on a swivel.
I swear, I thought she was stealing stuff.
Well, I mean, in the
and
case.
Did you ever, and by the way, I'd love to hear your story if you actually did go through with that. Not that you got in trouble, or maybe you did, or maybe you stopped a thief. Did you chase somebody down?
Well, when I worked in restaurants, specifically one sports bar in college, they didn't ask us or me personally to chase down people running out on their bill. Because, you know, but our managers would do it. Run down Peachtree Street after a man who's run out on his food.
Right. No, in that case, you know, I
because
guess,
they've run, yeah, they
that they absolutely
you.
Have not paid you. So there's no question. Thanks to Caleb on Twitter, and you can do the same at Woody and Wilcox. I used to work at a Shopco. I'm not familiar. Early 2000s, I got to chase down a shoplifter and tackle him in the parking lot.
Hell yeah.
By the way, I used to be a linebacker on my high school football team. I imagine that didn't feel good for him. Right. I mean, that's got to be, in this case, you're hailed as somewhat of a hero, right? You've chased down somebody, especially when it's not your business. You know, that's a good employee, I feel like, when they're like, release the hounds, and you go out in the parking lot and tackle the guy. I just feel, I my guess is that that's not the way they approach it anymore.
No,
the reasons that we've highlighted here. I would love to hear it at 844-4WW-SHOW. Your story's either way. You got in trouble for it, or maybe you didn't. Maybe you thwarted something amazing and got to, you know, I don't know. How did it play out? Fez line, if you can't wait, at 704-FEZ-3200 or 844-4WW-SHOW.
Woody and Wilcox. The Woody and Wilcox Show.
There's a story out there, and it's become national news, although it happened in the Charlotte area, about a woman who was accused of shoplifting at a Staples store, and she actually was pregnant. but they initially thought that she had something in her shirt and was trying to get out of the store with it. They questioned her a couple of times, and that seems like that was the extent of it, and then they let her go on about her way. But the media has certainly latched onto it. I'm not exactly sure. Well, first of all, the manager of the Staples who put the security officer onto this woman was fired. And now she, the woman who was questioned, is thinking about legal action. We don't know exactly what that means. But it's interesting to hear those of you that have worked in some sort of retail establishment where you've either had to try to prevent a theft or how do you handle it?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause now, apparently, if you even accuse somebody or ask them, it sounds like you run the risk as an employee of losing your job, which is an interesting turn of events, I feel like.
Yeah. 844-4WW-SHOW. I think Kayla, do you have some insight for us, Kayla?
Hi. Yes. I worked a few years ago, worked at a really big chain clothing store in the Charlotte area. And we had some rules that we had to abide by as well. So our loss prevention team would come in and kind of give all of the sales associates tips and tricks and things that we had to do. So we worked in a mall, and one of the hints kind of to look out for people who might be stealing, if they, any shopper walked in the store with a bag from another store that wasn't actually inside our mall. Sometimes people would do this. They'd bring in like a Hollister bag, and there wasn't a Hollister in the store. So kind of makes it a little more obvious that they're probably up to something.
And then what were you supposed to do at that point if you witnessed this and you thought something was happening? Were you supposed to approach them, or did you tell somebody else, or how did it go from there?
You can approach them, but you can't call them out on their Hollister bag, but you had to incorporate your customer service skills. And basically, we had to be really creepy if we thought anyone was stealing, and just kind of follow them around the store and, just kind of greet them and ask if they need any help, make some suggestions about outfits or clothing, and just kind of be overly helpful to the point where they just don't get a chance to steal anything because we're basically following them, or just not a chance to steal anything else that they already had at that point when we saw them. But you couldn't run out after anybody if you think they, grabbed something and took off out the store, because in years past they had an employee run out after someone, and the customer had shot him in the head. So
I'm sorry, the customer shot him in the head, you say?
Yeah, they got shot. So it just became a general rule. You don't run out after anyone because you don't know what they have. You don't know if they're armed. So in order to kind of protect the employees, but also still try to stay on top of our loss prevention, that was just the rule.
Well, okay, I appreciate that, Kayla. Thank you very much. 844-4WW-SHOW. Speaking of that, I want to hear Amy on 4. Amy.
Yeah, hey.
Hey, what's your story?
Well, Kayla just kind of stole my thunder. So I used to work at, can I say the name of the place?
Sure.
Okay, so I used to work at Macaroni Grill. I don't even know if those still exist. But my training manager told us the story about loss prevention where somebody had come in and robbed another store that he was working at. And he actually ran after the person and actually chased them like in the car to try to retrieve the money. And when he finally caught up with the guy, he tackled the guy, and he ended up getting shot 6 times, twice in the face.
Wait a second.
Your manager did?
A car chase?
My manager, but he lived, and he still worked at restaurants and trained people.
Maybe just didn't chase him down anymore.
He didn't chase him down anymore.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty intense. And so this was in training on like my third day. And so everybody was kind of traumatized.
You know, what's funny is I guess there would still be people who would want that, would want to chase somebody. But I feel like most people wouldn't. If somebody came into your, restaurant and you're just your server or whatever, and they steal money out of the register, how many people in the restaurant are going to chase them down in a car? My guess would be zero.
Well, this sounds like it was like the drop for the night or a significant amount of money.
Still,
yeah, it was the drop for the night. Yeah, and I think he was like 22 or 23 at the time, and he was much older when he was working at the place I was working.
See, that attitude is what's wrong with America.
But which one?
The one I'm assuming that people have?
The one they're like, I don't want to get involved.
Yeah, well, I don't want to get involved, or, it's not my money, so I'm not going to chase them down.
Well, but it could be dangerous in this day and age. People will shoot you for less.
At any day and age, honestly. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and that chain doesn't make that much money, so I really doubt that.
Wow.
Let's not kick them while they're down. Come on now. Jeez Louise.
I actually have a lighter note story to tell you if you have time to hear it. Well, kind of the same thing.
Yeah, let me hear it.
Okay, so I used to work at Cracker Barrel, and at the time, this was like my first job in high school. So the policy was you did not confront shoplifters at all. You just let them steal stuff. I don't know if that's still the policy.
Note to self.
I know where I'm having lunch.
So we had a known employee there who would actually steal the Christmas ornaments out of the shop, and she had her own shop with the Cracker Barrel Christmas ornaments at the flea market.
She was an employee, though.
You're not supposed to stop anybody, Chelsea.
Not even the people who work for you.
Yeah, they knew that she did it, and the policy was not to confront anybody if they stole something, just to let them take it.
But couldn't you go to the flea market and be like, hey, we all know where you got these. It says Cracker Barrel on it. What?
Yeah, I don't know.
Amy, thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
844-4WW-SHOW. You're stealing Christmas ornaments, too, by the way.
That's a
double whammy, isn't it?
I think they're Jesus ones.
The Bible doesn't say anything about stealing.
844-4WW-SHOW. Fez line available at 704 Fez 3200. We'll continue to talk to you about this. Hang on.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
There's been a lot of stuff lately about people being accused of shoplifting in the news, and we're talking about maybe you worked at an establishment. Did you have to chase somebody down? Did you chase somebody down? Or what was the policy? Did you see something interesting happen there that you thought was strange? 844-4WW-SHOW. Mike is on. Mike, what's going on, man?
Hey, good morning. Well, my sister, about 20 years ago, my sister is kind of a husky gal. And, brought up not to take any BS from anybody. She was living in Las Vegas. She hated it. She hated what was going on in Vegas. Well, she was walking down the street, and she witnessed a purse snatcher. Somebody ran up, grabbed a woman's purse, and started running down the street with it. She got so pissed off, she ran after the dude, tackled him, and held him till the police came. In Las Vegas.
Yeah, this for a stranger.
Just a pure stranger and walking down the street, just being a good citizen.
Just being a good citizen and pissed off at people.
and then that's it. Happy ending. All is well. It worked out.
Yep.
Okay. Hey, I thought there was going to be and then she got sued by the.
No. She didn't get no medal. She didn't get no medal from Las Vegas. Bill medal. She's like, okay, thank you so much, ma'am. We've got this dude.
Well, that's great. Yeah. You know what? That's fantastic. Like that. World needs more people like your sister.
Yeah. They need more angry women walking down the street.
You did call her husky, so I don't know how she's going to feel about that.
What's a height weight on her?
Okay, no, that's enough.
Husky.
All right, got it.
All right.
Mike, thank you, man.
Have a good day.
You too, appreciate it. 844-4WW-SHOW. We're running a little behind. A bunch of people waiting to tell their stories, and I do want to hear them. They do not have to have anything to do with a husky woman, just FYI. But they can if that's how it goes.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
So we're talking about this woman who is accused of shoplifting. And she was not, in fact, shoplifting. In fact, she's pregnant with twins. And it's caused sort of an interesting discussion of loss prevention techniques in, I guess, today's day and age. Which apparently, from what everybody is ringing in on Facebook and on Twitter, the rules seem to be skewed for people who do the wrong thing, right? We've heard multiple people being fired for confronting actual shoplifters, unlike the woman who started this all. She wasn't shoplifting, but people who actually stole stuff, if you confront them, chances are your company's going to fire you.
Well, that's how it came up, because in that situation that you're describing about the pregnant woman who was confronted about being a shoplifter, and they asked her twice, and she convinced them that she was just pregnant, and that was it. Mm-hmm. And they both went on about their mm-hmm. business. But the manager of that store got fired. And she's the woman who was questioned about it.
Thinking about
is thinking about legal action.
Speaking of that, Eric sends me a nice note on Facebook. Used to work at a grocery store when I was just out of college. Had a dude put a whole pork loin down his pants leg. This was back in a time when you did stop people who were doing crime. We chased after him and tackled him in the parking lot, and his pants basically exploded.
Okay, now.
During the court case, he tried to get our grocery store to pay for his pants. He countersued for damaged jeans. The judge said, quote, under no circumstances should damages incurred by the perpetrator of a crime in the committing of that crime be made whole by the victim of that crime. Basically telling the guy to STFU.
He countersued for damaged jeans.
Well, at that point, what are you going to do? Hey, what are you going to do? Oh. 844-4WW-SHOW. It's weird that there are a ton of companies who encourage their employees not to chase after them, let the crime happen. And then there's cases, I think, like Robin has. Robin, you're on with Woody and Wilcox. What's your story?
I managed a convenience store in a really not good neighborhood, which I lived right down the street, but I managed it for 7 years. And my bonus, part of my bonus, was inventory control. I can't tell you how many times I have chased people down and gotten beer back. I had an employee that was scared to do so, a male. He wouldn't say anything to anybody, so I started working some second shift, and I put a magnet on the door with a switch by the register. So when they would come in and pick up two cases of beer and start towards the door, I would lock the door with a magnet.
Yeah.
And other than being having a gun in my face twice, being robbed, of course, I gave that money up. I don't care.
Hmm.
But many times I would chase people out, get the product back, take pictures. If I missed them, I'd take pictures off the video, and I would put them on my office door that I kept open where the public could see. And I called it my wall of shame.
And you would often get the beer or whatever they were taking. You'd get it back.
Yeah. I went out one night after the guy that picked up a 12-pack, and he didn't get far. And I ran out the door, and I said, stop. He put the beer down and held his hands up. Didn't even turn around like I had a gun or something. I just walked up and took the beer and told him to get out. Stay out.
I like the cut of your jib.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I like doing it. We used to have people that used to try to deal in the parking lot. They would, if they saw me there, they would leave. But if there was not other employees there, they would hang out. So I would have, like I said, I live right down the street. So I would check the store every now and then. And I'd have to go up there and run them off. And, of course, whenever they got robbed or something happened, I've been up there in my pajamas many nights.
I would have pictured you as somebody who sleeps nude.
Yeah, that too. It's too hot otherwise.
Robin, we appreciate the call. Thank you. 844-4WW-SHOW. It's almost weird when she was talking about, you know, people were trying to deal in the parking lot, but they wouldn't while she's there. Here's an idea for companies. If you don't allow crime to happen and actually have people stand up to people who are doing crime, maybe it won't happen.
That sounds like incorrect thinking. Our voicemail is always available to you as well. The Fez line, as we call it, at 704-FEZ-3200. Got this one. Yeah. I say got this one.
Yeah, you guys are talking about, like, loss prevention stuff. I used to work at a grocery store, and their policy was if someone was stealing something, you know, you were just supposed to let it go and let them get away with it. And one day I just decided to ask the manager, you know, why is that our policy? He said, you know, one day he tried to stop someone. The next thing you know, there was knives and guns, and they cut his beard and forced him to eat it.
Well done.
That was perfectly played.
Didn't see it coming.
No!
Didn't see it coming.
Troy offered to buy it from me for $250. I paid $20 for it.
He thought I was trying to cheat him. One thing led to another, and before I knowed it, there was knives and guns, and they cut my beard and forced me to eat it.
704-FEZ-3200-844-4WW-SHOW, the ways that you can get through.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
All right. Well, I think we have learned a valuable lesson about corporate America today.
And what is that lesson, Woody?
Go ahead and shoplift, because it doesn't matter. You're either going to get accused of it, and then you can file your lawsuit, like what happened to a woman who was shopping at Staples, or you can go ahead and shoplift and get away with it because they're not going to chase you.
It sounds like only at a corporate. So, yeah, said corporate, because we talked to Robin a little earlier, who was running her own convenience store, or the manager of a convenience store.
Right.
It sounded like maybe it was a little bit more mom and poppy. She was chasing him down.
Maybe before shoplifting, ask for the manager and say, is this a corporate establishment?
Right. Yeah.
Let's let Jason have the last word on this. Jason's got some insight for us on, you know, a corporate policy, but somehow still able to tackle people. Jason, what's the story?
Well, I used to work at Target some time ago. I was the electronics manager over there, and people steal a lot. And your last person that rang in was right. As an employee, you're not supposed to accuse anybody unless you're sure. And as an employee, you're definitely not supposed to try and catch anybody. But assets protection is supposed to handle all that. And we're actually not supposed to even interfere if assets protection is trying to arrest somebody unless they require your help and they ask for it specifically. One day, this kid was trying to steal a bunch of CDs, put them in his pants, and we had a female assets protection that was having some trouble trying to arrest him, get him handcuffed. And I walked over, I'm 6'4", 250 pounds, I had my hands behind my back, and I looked at her in the face and I said, do you need assistance? With a big smile on my face. And she said, oh God, yes, please. So as soon as she said that, I grabbed him by the back of his shirt and slammed him up against the CD so she can handcuff him. And, it's crazy how much stealing goes on in retail that people don't even know about. You would go in and you would find stuff in bathrooms, packages, and people just walk out with TVs all the time as well.
How big are their pants that they're putting a TV in there?
You'd be surprised, especially the way that flat screens are these days. People get pretty creative in ways to steal stuff.
Still not fitting it in my pants, though. Thank you, Jason.
I can't imagine that. I mean, I'm not even mad. I'm impressed. Lauren says, when I worked in retail, this is on Twitter, if you saw someone who was stealing, we were told to walk up to them and say something like, quote, hey, that shirt you're looking at would look great with those sandals that are already in your bag, or something to that effect. So they wanted you to sort of work on your sarcasm. It's okay to approach them as long as you are sarcastic.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to be what Lauren was told as an employee. At Woody and Wilcox on Twitter, the way that you can get through there. Feel free to leave those on the Fez line at 704-FEZ-3200, because we are going to move on. We do have a round of It Happened in Florida that we're going to get to. We need to learn some lessons there, too.
That's a fact.
But would love to hear your thoughts, if you've still got some, on the voicemail.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
It Happened in Florida time. Woody and I are going to share three stories here with you, all of which are true stories. But you got to figure out which one of them happened in Florida. They could have happened anywhere all over the world, but as we know, Florida is consistently cranking out the crazy. And so if you can spot the Florida story, this is a celebration of all the things that are the Sunshine State. So if you can spot the Florida story first, you win. And Woody has story number one.
A little earlier, we were talking about people stealing from corporate chains. One you don't mess with, the house that Beef built. Talking about Arby's, because a man was accused of stealing from an Arby's, confronted by an employee, ended up getting tased at a Denny's.
What? No.
So this guy, he, in story number one, is 48 years old, went into the house that Beef built. Sure, he got him some delicious, roast beef and cheddars, some horsey sauce, then asked for a cup for water, and did what some people would do. Instead of getting water, took that cup and filled it up with ice-cold Coca-Cola. Well, an employee noticed and confronted the man and said, I'm sorry, you're going to have to pay for that. That's soda, not water. That's when he decided to leave the premises, and the employee called the cops. Cops arrive on the scene and they see the man walking into a Denny's, confront him. He stands up to them and ends up getting tased over not paying for a Coke. Now, there's a lot of aggressiveness going on here in story number one, and I think there's a lot of blame to be shared. Is it in Florida where he asked for a cup for water? He did not get water. He did end up getting tased.
Now, story number two is something, generally speaking, that we have heard about before. But to me, what was so great about story number two is the excuse that was given. Now, in story number two, a man is facing battery charges after he was allegedly caught putting bodily fluids into his co-worker's drink.
Oh.
Yeah, this happened about a month or so ago.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Well, they don't say where the fluids left the body.
Well, really?
The woman says that she was drinking out of a mug all morning, and you may want to sit down for this one. Later noticed a mucusy white-colored substance floating in the drink. Now, they were able to review security cam footage and witnessed on video the man taking a vial of some sort of fluid and pouring it into the woman's drink. Now, so it would seem that he is guilty. And then when you hear what I'm about to tell you, obviously he's guilty. He sent, by the way, they fired him immediately. And he sent several letters to the Human Resources Department admitting his guilt, but blaming his actions on what?
Bath salts.
She made a mouth noise while typing.
So it's her fault, Woody, is what
you're saying. She made a mouth noise while typing.
Right.
It's going to be a Myrtle in the typing pool reference.
So you're saying he used that and said, I had to obviously put bodily fluids in her drink at that point.
Right.
No, that's not it. He blamed his actions on exhaustion.
He thought he was putting it somewhere else.
Oh, I see. Okay, I hadn't thought of it that way, Chelsea. He doesn't say.
Like, he's just so out of it and so exhausted, he thought.
I think, Chelsea, we all understand, and I'm sure you're the same, that when you get...
I am tired.
Yeah, when you get tired late at night, your eyes start getting a little droopy. The next thing you do is put bodily fluids in somebody's drink. Look, I mean, it's A to B. I mean, it's as plain as the nose on your face.
We're three of the more exhausted people on the planet just due to our hours.
I think everybody knows that you're not off. That's one thing. And then the next thing you know, you're putting bodily fluids in somebody's drink. So I feel like he's got a pretty good case. Exhaustion probably is the answer. Was it Florida? 844-4WW show is the way you can get through. Woody's got the third and final.
We like overachievers here on It Happened in Florida, and that's why story number three really goes above and beyond. You know, when people are trying to sneak stuff into a correctional facility, we've sort of put a moratorium on those unless somebody is an overachiever at sneaking those in. Now, story number three is not sneaking it in, but the headline says it all. Driver tests positive for every drug in the test. Occasionally, some people will enjoy themselves some recreational pharmaceuticals and get pulled over. In this particular case, police found high levels of cannabis, amphetamine, methamphetamine, cocaine, opiates, and alcohol in this particular driver's test. Every drug in the test came back as positive. That, my friends, is good work and one hell of a party. The vehicle has been impounded, and this person is in jail after failing every drug test that was given to them. Was it in Florida where they were having a good time and unfortunately decided to drive a car? Peter is up first to try and solve our quiz. Peter, all three stories happened. Which one went down in Florida, do you think?
Man, they're all pretty good, but I'd have to go with number two. That's the creepy there.
Yes. Nice job. You're right. Tallahassee, Florida is where the man admits that he put bodily fluids in a co-worker's drink, but has pretty much the foolproof answer. Come on, I was exhausted.
And you don't mess with an Arby's in Missoula, Montana. You ask for water, you get water, mister, or you'll end up getting tased at the Denny's across the street. And not even in this country, in Spain is where a Spanish driver tested positive for every single drug in their test.
Speaking of tests and so forth, remember yesterday we had a nice discussion about allergies and some of not just the strange allergies, although that was part of what we discussed, but I got a few follow-ups to that that I want to share with you, and we'll do that next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Among other things, yesterday we got into a discussion. I don't even remember. How did we get started on the allergy thing? Why did that come up?
Well, it's because I had a friend who was enjoying dinner with their daughter, and she developed a shellfish allergy at the table, basically, is what happened. Great picture of them about to tuck into some great crab legs, and then the next picture that I got was, by the way, we're in the ER because she's had an anaphylactic reaction to the shellfish.
Did you say they were going to tuck into the crab legs?
Yeah.
Isn't that a term?
Like, I don't know, is it? Do you tuck into crab legs?
I have used that phrase when you're like, oh, I'm about ready to tuck into this burrito and just get crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's right. So, and it led to some interesting discussions about discovering things late in life and that all that sort of thing. There were a lot of great follow-ups to that. I thought Kenny's was interesting on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page. I'm listening to the podcast from yesterday, and I wanted to share with you that when I was about 16, I started having horrible reactions every time I ate anything. It got to the point where I would take baths in oatmeal because it was supposed to soothe your skin.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually made it worse. I scheduled a visit to an allergy specialist, and I came to find out that apparently I had developed an allergy to everything. I tested positive for allergies to every food, most pollens, even the chemicals that were used to purify water from the treatment plants. Yes, I was allergic to water, says Kenny. I had to get 6 shots a week to gain a tolerance for everything. That went on for about 2 years.
Ooh.
I still have some problems to this day, but not all, and I'm 23. Love the show. So at 16, he developed an allergy to
life.
Everything, seemingly, including the water that comes out of your tap. How do you, I mean, I don't even.
And think about it from a parent's point of view.
Yeah.
Right. You just got this teenager who's just being fussy about everything. You're like,
that's true. And that's you're right. I mean, because that's one of those things where you're like, well, I mean, I guess it would depend on what their personality was like prior to that. But sure. If they'd been somebody who was prone, like so many kids are at one time or another, to really seem more dramatic about something than it really is, you know, sort of the cry wolf syndrome. Yeah. That's tough. What was the one you were reading earlier, Woody, about somebody who had a bone marrow transplant or was talking about the ramifications that come about after you've had a bone marrow transplant, which obviously not a ton of people have, but if you've had leukemia, some of those, I think that's often what the treatment is.
I think I lost it. I keep looking for it, but it was something to do with the fact that their friend had a bone marrow transplant needed and now enjoys a new blood type due to the bone marrow transplant. And all of the allergies that the donor had, their friend now has due to that transplant. And I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not a doctor of any kind. I don't think that's how it works, but I may be wrong.
Why would your allergies be in your bone marrow? I thought it's in the immune system.
Don't know. As Woody said, not a doctor of any type. We also got this on the voicemail known as the Fez line at 704-FEZ-3200.
Okay, sorry I get in late on this, but yesterday, talking about all the allergic reactions, and I had one. My knees got weak and my palms got sweaty, and there was vomit on my sweater already. Mom's spaghetti.
I mean, I don't know what's going on.
Our show makes you think of Eminem lyrics.
Why?
Why a lot of things?
Why?
Just Where do you start?
It's a good question. Why a lot of things? I think we're going to put that...
that should be the slogan for the show.
The tagline of the show, absolutely.
The Woody Wilcox Show. Why a lot of things?
704-FEZ-3200, the way you can leave messages that make little to no sense.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
All right. Cool Beans, who works so hard behind the scenes here. We love to hear laugh, and we love to hear the word Leonard come from her mouth. So many great things about Cool Beans. Cool Beans, I'm going to need you to come in here for a second, please. She's also the one, if you're new to the show, who, if you ever have called to try and win a prize or just to talk on a subject, Cool Beans 99.9% of the time is the one who answers the phone. Hey, Cool Beans.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am fantastic.
We haven't had you on the radio yet this morning. It's good to see you in the studio. Uh-huh. I wanted to share with you a call that we got on our voicemail. Of course, the Fez line is what the voicemail is known as, 704-FEZ-3200. Here was the voicemail that came in last night.
Hey, guys. I just realized that Cool Beans follows the United States Postal Service on Twitter. You might want to have her explain that.
First of all, thank you. I love that he called at 12:30 last night and was just, as we like to say, tickled to death about the fact that somehow he had discovered, poking around on, I guess, on Twitter, that Cool Beans follows the United States Postal Service on Twitter. Now, first of all, it sounds like something I would do. So I'm not going to throw Cool Beans under the bus. Now, somebody else may want to. It sounds like he's inferring that.
Well, is this one of those cases where you probably had some sort of issue and you tweeted at the Postal Service, hey, I need some help. And they're like, oh, follow us. And then it, instead of having the conversation in public, it happens in a direct message?
No.
Okay, so I was trying to give you an out right there, Cool Beans, where you could have said yes.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, of the social media accounts that are out there, Twitter is the one that you turn to probably for the most, I don't know, information. If you have a question about a business or something along those lines. I mean, for example, if I was going to follow the Postal Service on either Instagram or Twitter, I think I would choose Twitter. I can't imagine, right, you know, the exciting photos that the Postal Service is going to share that I'm going to really want to dig into on Instagram. So if I had a choice, I'd be like, I don't actually follow. I don't, but I may start now. How did that come up, Cool Beans, and why would you do it?
I just hit the little magnifying glass and typed in United States Postal Service.
Right.
And then I said, follow.
You went after it. It didn't come to you just randomly.
So at some point you thought, boy, I ought to be following the Postal Service on Twitter.
I did.
Why?
And are you happy with your decision?
I
guess it's two questions.
My decision.
Are you drunk?
As I look, so before she answers whether she's drunk or not, it seems to be on the Postal Service's Twitter feed, mainly just, hey, new stamps coming out.
I'm on their Instagram. It's the same thing.
We're celebrating Airmail's 100th anniversary. Don't forget to pre-order your stamps.
That's what it is.
Which, and I know you're not a stamp collector, though, are you?
I am not. But sometimes if they have some really nice stamps, I'll get them. Like, I don't know. Like, they had some Disney stamps at one point. They had some superhero stamps at one point, and I got a set for my brother who's really into comic books and stuff.
Okay. So. That, and you know what? Legitimate answer. I also notice as I'm paging through on August 2nd, the Postal Service tweeted, how much do you know about the U.S. Postal Service? Click now to learn some fun facts.
Oh, my God. Love the fun facts.
I'm dying.
So, I love fun facts too.
So, about the U.S. Postal Service?
About anything.
So that's mixed in with stamp revelations. Mm. But by the way, just to prove that I was right in my assertion that I'd rather follow the Postal Service on Twitter or Instagram, I'd rather choose Twitter. I'm looking at the Postal Service's Instagram, and like, here's just a photo of a mailbox, like the blue ones that you might find on a street corner, like out in a field, sort of in front of a barn.
Is it like an engagement photo?
It almost looks that way. It's got sort of a fuzzy background to it, and it says, I'm quoting, distance isn't an obstacle, it's a commitment.
Oh, God.
We love delivering across the nation for you.
There you go.
And by the way, I can't even count how many comments there are underneath it, and all of them are just people who are irate.
How about the package being missing or something?
The first one says, I've been on hold for an hour and 13 minutes waiting to speak to someone about a package that I didn't receive. Now I'm on hold. Effing sucks. Right there, right next to the beautiful, artistically done photo of a mailbox in front of a barn.
Right.
You guys suck. Just all it is people venting their frustration at the post office.
Their Instagram took a picture of the sky, so it's just a big blue square. I would like to state that your USPS location in El Dorado, Arkansas, on Timber Lane, is one of the rudest customer service encounters I have ever experienced.
Who's going to Instagram pictures for this?
Because they can't reach anybody on the phones, so Chelsea. Like,
all social media. I'm going to hit you hard.
Yep. Wait, but let me say this.
Yes. The one underneath is now arguing with the one above.
Okay.
BS! The one in New York in the Bronx is the worst ever. All capital letters. This is the worst post office ever.
Okay, no one's been to every post office. We can't compare people, first of all.
I've got a list of the top 10 worst post offices in the country. That'd be fun. That would be a fun fact.
But listen, I think that the post office sometimes gets a bad rap. And that if you think about all the mail that they deliver every day and they actually get it right, when you get home and there's mail in your mailbox, if you really think about it, that is a fascinating accomplishment.
They've been doing it for 175 years. No, they're supposed to have it down by now. You're following them so you can be supportive?
Yes. And I like to get mail. And like one day I got my friend sent me a nice card in the mail. It was a surprise. I was like, oh, wow. That's amazing.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
You know how I've been encouraging us to get like some kind of psychoanalyst?
Oh, God, yeah.
On the show because we're all so messed up in our own ways.
Right.
That probably needs to happen today.
No. Listen.
Uh-huh.
One day I went to my mailbox and I got a letter from my sister.
Uh-huh.
And she had given me a $1,000 check. What?
Everyone in this room is now dumber.
Good things come in the mail.
You can get that through your email right now, though, Cool Beans.
I think Cool Beans is drunk.
She sent me a check.
Yes.
Are you also following checks on Instagram? Because those are on their way out, too.
I'm just saying. Hey,
as far as storytelling goes,
here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
She had a point.
I have a point.
There was something in your mailbox. Was the
she
point?
No, it was a $1,000 check. She sent me a check.
You know what? It would have been better to send it UPS. It would have been safer.
No. Do it digitally.
Her point is that one time there was $1,000 in her mailbox, and ever since,
she's chasing
that dream.
No,
it could happen any day.
Particularly my sister, like, she'll just send me random things. Like, she'll cut some coupons.
So she's your mother, basically.
I don't think you're making your argument you're any not. Better.
You said you like the mail because it has surprises for you that are fun, and they get a bad rap, so you need to support them on their social media platforms.
Yes, because I think that they do a good job.
What's that, sir?
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
Clinical psychology is probably...
I feel like we've learned more in the last 5 minutes than we may have learned in an entire week on the show. Cool Beans has decided to follow the Postal Service on Instagram, or on Twitter at least.
I've been following them for a while, so, you know,
because
this
is
not a new thing.
Sister sent her $1,000 check.
By the way, here's
one time.
The Postal Service taking secondhand anger on Instagram. You guys suck. How dare you not deliver to my best friend? Then you put her on hold for an hour. Worst service ever.
Maybe that's great when your best friend's tweeting at the Postal Service because you're on hold.
I mean, you know, social media is used for bad things. We need to put it to good use.
There are better ways to put it to good use.
I'm showing support.
All right.
You know what? It's all in little pieces. I don't think we need any more right now. I think we're going to digest this, and then we'll come back once we've had time to really think it through.
The first person ever to willingly follow the U.S. Postal Service.
No, no,
he wants to. He's going to do it today, too.
You guys are stupid.
Now, that's the first thing you said that made sense.
That is a fact.
By the way, the Postal Service is following 72 people. I'm curious who they are. You know what? I don't know if we can top what we just learned from Cool Beans, but we'll see. We'll find out what we learn next. Stand by.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
So what did we learn today on the Woody and Wilcox Show? Nothing. Move through it quickly because there was a lot, but we learned that you shouldn't urinate in your neighbor's mailbox when they're mad about how loud your music is. We learned that when Tiger Woods does well at a golf tournament, the ratings are some of the best ever, up 70% from the same tournament last year. We learned that people are paying $2,000 for something called hand fillers. Chelsea knew it. Woody and I didn't know it. We also learned a good lesson. Don't get too tired, because apparently when you're exhausted, you may start putting your own bodily fluids in your coworker's coffee cup. But that's important to know. And we found out that Cool Beans, of course, follows the Postal Service on Twitter, mm-hmm. because one time she got a check from her sister for $1,000 in the mail. Anything else you missed, you're going to find it on the podcast. Look for the Woody and Wilcox channel of iHeartRadio. Thanks to everybody who contributed, of course. Follow along on Twitter, at Woody and Wilcox, and the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page. Fez Line's always there for you at 704-FEZ-3200. Of course, the podcast on the Woody and Wilcox channel of iHeartRadio. Tomorrow on the show, we haven't been able to get out of it, so it looks like Woody Game Wednesday will rear its ugly head.
Oh, yeah.
Intern Dave, is there anything you wanted to throw in there before we hang it up for the day?
Another great show, guys.
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
Everyone in this room is now dumber.
Not for a second have I even dwelled on the fact that the show's over. I don't,
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
I don't think about it. I try not to think about it, and therefore I, you know, don't.
Why don't you stop talking for a while?
Because it's a very healthy way to deal with something that is very ultimately not that important in the long run. It's not important at all.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Are you packing baloney or what?